Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. I'm Sam Roberts. Alongside of me is Clint Ritchie. And we have a special guest with us today. That is Jeff Ginn. Jeff is the Vice President of Mobilization for the International Mission Board. This is a continuation of the last episode. Hopefully you've already listened to that. If you haven't, I would encourage you to go back and take a listen. Jeff covers some valuable information there that I know will be of interest to our listeners. But we're going to continue our conversation today with Jeff Ginn.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Speaking of the cooperative program, you know, I would imagine that our listeners are supporters of the cooperative program that are leading their churches to give to Lottie Moon as well as Annie and Dixie. But as we look at international missions, we know CP and Lottie are funding or the funding mechanism for that. We may have folks listening that, you know, I consider we had a conversation with Sandy Wisdom Martin and talking about, you know, smaller churches that we grew up in. I never knew international missionary throughout my upbringing in church. And so some of our listeners may express some concern about a disconnect between the missionaries supported through CP and Lottie and the local church. But Dr. Chitwood has expressed the desire to build relationships between the local church and our IMB missionaries. Speak to that strategy, if you would, please.
Yeah, well, I'll just take advantage of this moment to say I thank God for Dr. Paul Chitwood. For the listeners who may not know who Dr. Chitwood is, Dr. Paul Chitwood is the president of the International Mission Board, and he's got a great heart for Southern Baptist, you know, for the whole kingdom, but particularly for our network of churches, and he's just doing a bang-up job. And I can say that as one who was a field missionary under his leadership and now serving on what we call the core team there in Richmond. So I just want to affirm his leadership, and particularly since you're raising this issue of connecting the missionary to the local church. That's been a big burden of his. Mm-hmm. And I've heard him say before, we don't have a resource problem. He said, we have a relationship problem. Mm-hmm. And you know, in the Southern Baptist Convention, there's a genius to the cooperative program. But you know, with every strength, there's a corresponding weakness. And the genius of the cooperative program, or the strength of it is, no matter how big your church is or how little it is, we all can chip in together, give sacrificially together, and we support missionaries. We don't even know who they are, you know, but we know we have 3,500 missionaries, and my church, you know, in Bowdoin, Arkansas, my church supports 3,500 missionaries. Now, that's the strength of the CP, but the weakness that kind of like corresponds to that is, but I don't know a single one of them's name. And so Dr. Chitwood, what he did was challenge us to put together a strategy where every church in the Southern Baptist Convention would have a missionary assigned to it to establish some form of communication and relationship. And so about 25 churches are assigned to each missionary. And I had, we call it a portfolio of churches. I had a portfolio of churches that were assigned to me as a field missionary. And I would, every quarter, there's the little saying we have, every quarter, every church. Every quarter, every church. So I was to connect with my churches once a quarter. Now, here's a little bit of inside scoop. So you listeners, you're getting a little bit of inside view here. Our missionaries are reaching out to the churches. And I think sometimes the churches are like, is this spam? Who is this stranger that's writing in my inbox saying they're with the IMB? You know, this may be somebody from Nigeria that's just trying to fish me. But no, those are real missionaries. They're reaching out to you. And I would just encourage you, if you get an email from a missionary, you may not even know who they are, just write them back and say, man, thank you for reaching out to me. How can I pray for you? Let that be a two-way street where the missionaries are reaching out to you. And by the way, if you say, man, I don't think a missionary has reached out to me, call the IMB. write the IMB. You can write the IMB at info@imb.org, or you can call the IMB at 1-800-999-3113 and just say, hey, I don't know who my missionary is. No missionary has contacted me. And we'll be sure to find out who your missionary is and connect you to them, because we love the local church. And here's another thing that came in with Dr. Chitwood's leadership. We changed our mission statement. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Okay, I'm going to say it.
Come on.
Our mission statement currently is, we exist to serve Southern Baptists.
Boom.
In the fulfillment of the Great Commission. So I hope you hear that posture from the IMB. We don't lord it over the local church. We are absolutely dependent upon the Lord through His people, His churches, and we exist to serve the church as the church carries out the Great Commission. So hear our heart on that matter.
Awesome.
And I would say we had a conversation with the pastor in the last month. Said, I've been getting some emails from somebody that says they're a missionary. I need to respond. And so if you're listening and you are getting those emails and hadn't responded, begin to pray for that missionary. Like you said, just ask them how you can pray for them, how you can tell their story, and get that out in front of your church.
Hey, and if you happen to forget that email or the number that Jeff shared with you, you can just call the Arkansas Baptist State Convention Mission Team. And we have connections there. We can find the name of that missionary that has been assigned to your church. Bob Fielding, prior to his departure, his retirement, began a process of reaching out to our Arkansas Baptist State Conventions. And we have a particular, there's a barcode, there's a website, there's whatever he does with that, that helps you find the missionary that's been assigned to you. So any Arkansas Baptist church, if you want to know the name of your missionary, give us a call. We'll get that to you. We'll get in touch with Mike Lazenby if we need to. That's our contact with IMB, and we will get that name to you. Now, Jeff, one of the things we talk about as well with the IMB, with our mission, our field missionaries, field personnel, is a pipeline. And that pipeline are those who are considering or preparing to serve on the field. Give us an update on the status of the pipeline.
Yeah. The pipeline currently at the IMB has about 1,300 plus people in it. And we're very thankful. That would be 1,300 people who have clicked on the button on the website that says apply. You know, that doesn't mean that all 1,300 plus are going to become missionaries, because only about 30%, 35% of those who actually initiate the process make it all the way through to appointment. Because sometimes they discover, hey, I thought maybe God was calling me, but after some reflection, I don't think that's God's direction for my life. Or they may discover that there's some mitigating circumstance that won't allow them to be appointed. So only about 35% get through. But praise the Lord, you know, you take 1,300, you know, that's 400 plus who likely will come through to appointment. Now, the good thing about that is it takes about 300 or 400 just for us to stay even with our current head count, because you always have folks retiring, coming back. And so we really want to see our number of missionaries on the field grow. So let me just say, before I went to the mission field, I was a pastor. And I love pastoring, but God called me out of the pastorate. In fact, He did it twice. Called me out of the pastorate into missionary service cross-culturally. And so I'm guessing most of your listeners are preachers, they're pastors, staff members. Y'all would make great missionaries. Okay, I'm just telling you listeners out there. And if you've been wondering, maybe God would call me. You know, for most of us, you know, if we were to step down from our churches, there'd be, you know, 50 applications, 100 applications, 200 applications come in for some churches wanting to fill your spot. But, you know, on the mission field, we've got openings, and they're not lining up 200 deep to go to them. We're having to beat the drum to say, come on, help us. Come over and help us. So hear the Macedonian call. Come help us.
You mentioned in a recent article the localization of the pipeline. Well, what is that in relation to the local church? How do you see that taking place?
Yeah, it gets a little bit confusing because we talk about the pipeline at the IMB. So maybe I would use a capital P for that, the pipeline, that's got all the potential missionary candidates in it. But a lot of local churches are starting to use that terminology to describe their own, like, I'll call it discipleship process for those that may sense a call to missions or even like to pastoral service. Someone will have a pastoral apprenticeship pipeline or a missionary pipeline. And so in their local church, they're offering curriculum that prepares people for overseas missionary service. Like maybe they'll do Perspectives, which is a great missions course, you know, or they'll offer Deepened Discipleship, which is a curriculum we insist all of our applicants go through. It's a basic discipleship course, a very defined curriculum, and it takes several months to get through it. And so churches are leading their members to go through that as a component of like a discipleship process as people are evaluating, are they called to overseas service? And we're seeing a lot of energy around this theme. Not only, you know, do we at the IMB seek to call out the call, but every local pastor ought to be calling out the called.
Amen.
You know, I've been a pastor, and I know what it is to, like, you know, you want to wrap your arms around your congregation and just keep them all close. But, you know, we have to have our arms open and say, Lord, you know, call from our midst. You know, our best young people. You know, when Barnabas and Paul and Lucius and Cyrus, you know, all those guys there in Acts 13, when they were praying and ministering to the Lord and fasting, and the Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. I have a feeling Barnabas and Paul or Saul were the bright lights in that congregation. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were the finest. And God said, man, give me those. And so you look at those young people in your church and the brightest young man coming up, the brightest young lady, man, just see if God's not calling them to the mission field.
Yeah, I think there's just a little side note here. Jeff, I think there's a greater intentionality that I see today in talking with pastors of including in that commitment time, that invitation time,
good,
ascending mechanism. You know, not just let's go as a church, but God may be calling you out to go and the sending to the nations. Awesome. Now,
that's good.
One of the things that Dr. Chitwood is constantly reminding us of is the world's greatest problem is lostness, and the only solution is the gospel. Man, you talking about preaching. That'll preach, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, we've identified some 3,000 unreached, unengaged people groups in the world. There is a strategy that has begun just recently called Missionary Explorer that is to identify and engage these unengaged, unreached people groups of the world with the gospel. Bring us up to date on that particular strategy.
Well, let me just say, you mission guys are up to speed, man. Y'all know the latest rollout from the board. That's good. Because, yeah, what you're calling the missionary explorer track or pathway, I'll call it, the missionary explorer pathway, is something that's new. And we've also used this lingo, you may have heard, P3000,
right,
which stands
right
for Project 3000. Mm-hmm. And the 3000 is an allusion to those UUPGs. There's about 3,000 of them in the world. And so the concept is this, that over the next 5 years, we would appoint 300 missionary explorers. Now, here's the ratio. 300 to 3,000 UUPGs. That means there would be 10 UUPGs per missionary explorer. Typically, we're thinking the missionary explorers are young people. They don't have to be college grads. They have to have the call of God on their life, and they have to be dedicated and devoted to the Lord. But they would be appointed by the board, much like a journeyman. It's kind of a variation of that. But the difference would be they would be focused on the UUPGs of the world. And we're asking them to go out and investigate, does that UUPG exist? Is there a gospel work among it now? Are there believers there now? Do they have a copy of the scriptures in their language? And so it's an investigative process, and where possible, it's even an engagement process where, okay, you find out that people group does exist and that there are or are not believers among them, and you seek to share the gospel. Typically, our missionary explorers are going with a national partner. let's say another young person from, let's just say it's in the Philippines. And so we appoint someone to go there, and there's a young Filipino believer that goes alongside them, because these explorers aren't yet going to know all the languages. And so that national partner is key in this. And so they'll accompany them. And so they're kind of going out two by two into some mm-hmm. really remote places. And we're hoping we're going to discover some of the UUPGs have been reached, or at least have been engaged. And then we'll get a more accurate number, and we'll know where they are and thus be able to hone in on them. And our prayer is many of these 300 will then turn right back around when they've completed their two-year stint and say, man, God is calling me not just for these 2 years, but for a lifetime. And so that's a hope of ours.
It's amazing just to hear in today's world how the gospel is continuing to advance, and humbling as well to be reminded there's people who have never heard the name of Jesus. And, you know, and just how pervasive that lostness is around the world. Well, as we begin to wrap up, you from your seat have a neat perspective. Mm-hmm. Recently, you were in a huge gathering of Baptist leaders from 76 countries. I'm sure you heard some amazing stories of what God is doing while you were there. Can you share with us maybe what that the purpose of that gathering was, but also just leave us with a final word of just a reminder of how God's working around the world?
Okay. Yeah, I did have a privilege of going to Indonesia. That's where we gathered. Here's the thing that's so sweet. Southern Baptists have been doing this now with the IMB for about going on 180 years, so a long time. We've had missionaries out around the world. And from their work, there have now come into existence a lot of Baptist conventions or unions, associations around the world. The Philippines,
right?
Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, you know, the list is long. And so, you know, those conventions, if I'll call them that, or those networks, they're growing into their own maturity. And the vision we had in gathering these 76 nations together was to say, look, you're no longer just a mission field. You are part of the missionary force. God called every one of us, no matter from what country we hail, God has called every one of us to be on mission with Him. And so this was a conference designed to say to those nations, rise up, you know, join us, and you send out your sons, your daughters. And I'll just throw this in as well. Sometimes you'll hear this concept thrown around in the West, like in the U.S. You know what? We don't have to send our kids anymore. Let's just send our money. Because, you know, you can support, let's just say India. You can support 10 workers in India for what you'd send one U.S. missionary. Let's don't send our people. Let's just send our money. Man, I'm going to tell you something just from my heart. That to me, that's very mistaken. It's not biblical. God never said, I'll just send your money and you stay at home. He said, go. And that's for the American to go. That's for the Mexican to go. That's for the Chinese to go. And I don't think we'll ever come to a place where we just send our money and we send our prayers. No, we send, because if you don't send your son and your daughter, soon enough you won't send your money. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so, you know, we say now, from all nations to all nations. God's at work. I had a couple of impressions I brought away, but one of them was I met a young pastor from Pakistan, and I won't name him, and I won't say where in that country he is, but I think you can imagine the challenges that he faces. And man, he's just young, bright, intelligent. He speaks about four or five. He speaks Urdu. He speaks English. He speaks, you know, a number of languages from that part of the world. And in the face of great opposition, he's holding high the gospel light. And I'm going to tell you, you know, we can sometimes think that we're the best thing since sliced bread, but you get around some of these national believers and you get humbled in a hurry because you see their courage, you see their devotion to Christ, and it's our privilege to partner with them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, Jeff, we want to thank you for being with us today. For sharing your heart for the missionary task, and thank you so much for your service to on the mission field as one of our Cooperative Program missionaries, Lottie Moon missionaries, as an affinity leader in the Americas, and now as your role with IMB on the mobilization team. Thank you so much, brother.
Well, look, before I jump off here, let me say this. It's an honor to serve the Lord in any way. You know, be the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, you know, is an honor. And we could not do what we do were it not for folks just like Arkansas Baptist. You know, William Carey said, "I will venture to go down, but you must hold the rope." And, you know, Arkansas Baptist hold the rope so faithfully. I'm reminded there's a story told about Michael Jordan, the great basketball player. He used to play for the Chicago Bulls. And one night, in fact, it was his career best. He scored 69 points in a single game. It was against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it happens that there was this other player on the team who wasn't nearly as well known. He was the center for the team at that time. His name was Stacy King. And Stacy was not a very prolific scorer. But that night he scored 1 point. Michael Jordan scored 69. Stacy King scored one. After the game was over, a reporter happened to say to Stacy King, he said, "Stacy," he said, "man, that was Michael Jordan's best game ever." He said, "What memory are you going to take away from this game?" He said, "I think I'll always remember it as the night that Michael Jordan and I scored 70 points." And, you know, I just say to, you know, that dear pastor out there in a small place, and you may feel you're forgotten and God doesn't know your name and you're not important, but I'm going to tell you, you're important. You may feel like you're just scoring 1 point for the kingdom, but God bless you. We're together. Together, we're serving His purposes.
And
God
bless. We are better together.
We are better together.
And together, so we can change the world.
Yes,
amen.
We
can. Man, we are coming up with all kind of one-liners for that sermon. So that's 4, 5, 6 sermons there, guys, as you're listening. And as always, we thank you for listening. And please, reach out to us if you have an idea for an episode or if you have a question. Jeff, if folks want to get in touch with you, and continue a conversation about anything we've talked about, how can they make contact with you?
Yeah. My email address is J, which of course is for my first name, Jeff, J Ginn, G-I-N-N. So just those five letters, jginn@imb.org. And I tell you, one of my privileges is to travel and to preach in churches. This morning I had the joy in being in one of the great churches in Arkansas. And in fact, this semester, man, I've been in 3 or 4 of y'all's great churches. And big or small, you know, if we can serve you in your church, I would love to be at your beck and call.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for listening, guys. And as always, God bless and have a great day.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.